B-Pod Studios.
They're very big.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and not every day, but occasionally, we like to give you something from the past to hopefully make you think back to easier times. And yesterday, we had Gary Tanguay on. He has a brief appearance in a movie that was shot in Maine that's getting rave reviews. And Rich, the Tanguay used to work at our radio station.
Yeah, so just going through some of the old Tanguay audio, I stumbled across a bit that I'd completely forgotten that we had done, and just playing one of the clips yesterday had me laughing out loud. So let's get to when Gary Tanguay ended up doing this for us.
Hi. This is Gary Tanguay.
Tanguay.
Let me take you on a tale of unbridled hot fiction.
Yeah.
It's 50 Shades.
50 Shades
of Gway.
Of Gway.
Goodness gracious.
No, you look puzzled, Wallach. I'm not familiar with this.
50 Shades of Gway is a play on 50 Shades of Gray.
Okay.
It is erotic fiction that is written at a two-year-old level.
that women everywhere
it's
are reading.
It's mom porn. It's called mom porn, and I'm not making that up. USA Today has called it mom porn, and it's the most aggravating thing. And if you open up one of these books and read just an excerpt from it, it's, like, horribly written. The woman that wrote it is a midlife fatso and has written these books. Apparently, she wrote them out. She was having some kind of midlife crisis, and this is the idea that most married women are in, let's face it, not erotic relationships. So if you have children and you're in your late 30s, mid 30s, late 30s, early 40s, and this is, I guess, a way to spark women with fantastic imagery of erotica.
This might be the number one selling book right now. It is
they're
a
making
phenomenon.
Movies.
50 Shades of Grey.
My wife reads, but my wife got through these books in 2 weeks. She read the three of them. And her friends have all read the books. I'm surprised that you guys...
My wife has not found these yet, no.
That's amazing.
Well, life's going to get a little wild if they do.
Because I'm amazed that Rich's wife hasn't picked these up. You, believe
she
me, you
knows
don't want
about
this.
Them, yeah.
Okay. You don't want this.
Oh, really?
Annoying.
Not
it's
at all. Annoying. Okay.
Yes. If I did any of this crap to my wife that my wife tells me about from these books, she'd be miserable. But women think that they want these things. All right. Let's meet our contestant. Mike, hello.
How you doing, guys?
All right, good. Here we go. We're upbeat. We're having fun. Now, Gary Tanguay is going to read you a passage. Is it his own erotic fiction, or is it indeed a passage from one of the 50 Shades, or the Shades of Grey trilogies,
right.
I should say?
Is it from 50 Shades of Grey, or is it 50 Shades of Gway? Are you ready?
Gway.
Here we go.
He grabs me suddenly and yanks me up against him, one hand on my back, holding me to him, and the other fisting in my hair. You're one challenging woman, he screams.
Is that 50 Shades of Grey?
He's pulling the hair on her head, yes. And we should articulate.
I need a clarification.
He's pulling the hair on her head. They're fully clothed at this moment in the book.
Okay.
They're in an elevator. Rich and I went through these passages with a fine-tooth comb. Don't misconstrue that. They're in an elevator fully clothed.
You can understand the mistake, though.
This is a make-out session in an elevator, an impromptu make-out session.
Is that 50 Shades of Grey or 50 Shades of Grey?
I kind of gave it away, but there you go.
I don't know. I'll probably screw it up. I'm going to go with 50 Shades of Gway.
Oh.
I dump it, dump it, dump it, dump, dump, dump.
No, that is, of course, 50 Shades of Gray.
I basically just told you it was an excerpt from the book, but we'll try to get a little better as the contest goes.
It's 50 Shades of Gway.
That was 50 Shades of Gray. All right. Here we go. We will continue the conversation. Is this Gary Tanguay or the fat middle-aged woman that wrote these books?
I said, listen here, bucko. If you want to ride the G-train to Hoo-Ha-ville, population Gare-Bear, then you're going to have to slow your roll, you jabroni.
All right. Is that 50 Shades of Gray or 50 Shades of Gway?
I'm going to go with the Gway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
correct.
That doesn't make a lot of sense, but here we go. You are one for two. All right, we continue. Is this from the erotic women fiction, 50 Shades of Gray, or is it just Tanguay getting loose with his own erotic fiction?
He kisses me, forcing my lips apart with his tongue, taking no prisoners. It's taking all of my self-control not to f*** you on the hood of this car, just to show you that you're mine. And if I want to buy you a f***ing car, I'll buy you a f***ing car, he growls.
I hope it's not Tangway.
No, that is not Gary Tang. I think if a good way to play this game is if it's from a woman's perspective, it's from the book. If it's Gary Tangway, then it's probably his own erotic fiction. All right. We continue. Is this from the 50 Shades of Grey, or is this Gary Tangway's own erotic fiction?
Hey, fatso. You'll do. I'm kind of desperate. And you look like you'd do anything for a Klondike bar. Yummy.
Again, not rocket science.
I'm going to go with Tangway on that one.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah,
of course. Again, female perspective from the book.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Hey, fatso. Yummy.
You're what they call a buzzer beater.
Hey, fatso.
Buzzer beater.
You are a buzzer beater. It's 2 o'clock and it ain't getting any lighter.
Yummy.
All right, let's continue.
Yes, she screams. I gasp. And all the muscles deep in my belly clench. My inner goddess is doing the dance of the seven veils.
That's the kind of writing you get in these horrible books.
Which one is that?
I'm going to go with the 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah. And what's funny is women know that it's terribly written, too, and they just don't care.
It's
all right.
50 Shades of... Gway.
All right. Gary, very passionate about delivering this bit. Good for him. All right, we continue. Is this from the books or is this his own thing? Gary Tangway, go ahead.
Enough of the shenanigans with the woman area. The only pierce I'm interested in wears number 34, Toots.
Got to think about that one. Not so much for the answer, but for what he's talking about. He's not for any of that craziness. He likes a traditional lady. All right. He likes Paul Pierce. Go ahead.
That would be Gway.
That's right. No piercings for the Gway. All right. I almost like the stuff in the book is cornier than what he wrote himself. All right. Here we go.
Excuse me one moment, Mrs. Steele. One of us broke wind and it's not me. Stinkerotic.
Is there a part of 50 Shades of Grey where
what's wrong with him?
Where Miss Steele breaks wind?
That would be Mr. Tangway.
Yes, indeed. That's from his own erotic fiction. It's very realistic.
Stink erotic.
No.
Yummy.
I think we're...
The keywords goddess, keywords, there's many, many butterflies. These are the words that the women like. Let's
continue.
If you
want to ride the G-train to Hoo-Ha-Ville.
All right, the next one?
Yeah, why not? Is this 50 Shades of Grey or 50 Shades of Gway?
I want you sore, baby, he murmurs. And he continues his sweet, leisurely torment. Every time you move tomorrow, I want you to be reminded that I've been here. Only me. You are mine.
Yeah, that's what you're going to get after 15 years of marriage. All right. What is that? Is that Gway or Gray?
That would be Gway.
Yeah.
That's correct.
No.
He said Gway.
Oh,
he said Gway. He said Gway.
Dump.
No, it's not.
It's not. That's Gray.
I want you sore, baby.
All right. Let's continue. Is this Gway or Gray?
Hey, let's reenact the scene from Rambo where he covers himself in mud and starts hunting down soldiers, except in a sexy way and without decapitations. Maybe.
All right, is that...
getting into a weird area.
Yeah, I know. Is that Gway really or Gray?
That would be Mr. Gway.
Yeah.
Not a lot of Rambo in the women's erotic fiction. All right.
Stink erotic.
All right, let's continue. Is this Gray or Gway?
My inner goddess jumps up and down with cheerleading pom-poms, shouting yes at me.
If you say Tangway, where I'm hanging up the phone.
That would be the Gray.
Yes. Yeah. There you go. That goddess is a giveaway. Women love that. All right.
Stink-erotic.
All right. Is this Gray?
There's a final one.
The final one. Is this Gray or a Gway?
Hey, Mamacita. Wear this Donnie Marshall mask and a bow tie, and let's party.
Now, is the woman from England that wrote the 50 Shades of Grey trilogy a big CSNNE fan, or is that Gary Tangway?
That would be Gary Tangway.
Yay! Oh,
that is correct, sir.
Yes, indeed.
This is Gary Tangway. Tangway. Let me take you on a tale of unbridled hot fiction.
Yeah.
It's 50 Shades.
50 Shades of Gway.
Of Gway.
goodness gracious.
All right. Congratulations. You won some golf balls from the Callaway Company.
So it's a Snickerotica. Damn, I was surprised it wasn't in 50 Shades of Grey.
No, no. Goddesses, butterflies, all of that is in 50 Shades of Grey.
Wear this Donnie Marshall mask and a bow tie and let's party.
Yes. All right.
Stinkerotic.
That's true.
He kisses me, forcing my lips apart with his tongue, taking no prisoners. It's taking all of my self-control not to f*** you on the hood of this car just to show you that you're mine. And if I want to buy you a f***ing car, I'll buy you a f***ing car, he growls.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Come on. 98.5 the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. I can't stand Travis Kelce. I didn't care if Kansas City won the Super Bowl. I don't particularly. I know that Tyreek Hill's garbage and all that stuff, but that's beyond the point. Travis Kelce is someone who tries hard to be funny, and much like myself, fails miserably and does not understand that that is happening. Travis Kelce is one of these people that, because he's good at football and everyone else gives these stale quotes, the media laps his jokes up and, you know, laughs out loud at stupid crap that he does, and it drives me insane.
Well, like when he said you got to fight for your right to party when they won the AFC. That was the big thing, and I don't think that really ever took off.
No, and then we were told about, oh, well, you don't understand what it was coming from. Whatever it came from is stupid. I mean, whatever, you're giving a 1987 Beastie Boys reference?
I think, I believe it's their touchdown song.
Okay, well, that's stupid. And Travis Kelce saying it is even dumber. Why, if when they score a touchdown, they couldn't find anything but you have to fight for your right to party? Fred, maybe the worst song on License to Ill?
Fred, no one in New England can say a word about the touchdown song. Bon Jovi.
Yeah, right. He wrote a song. He wrote a song for his good friend Bill Belichick. That's special. What's the song? It's like, hey, everybody, jersey rocking, scoring touchdowns and kicking people out of the band.
Sure.
Is that what it was about?
Of course it is. Like, yeah, I mean, it's all about living the rock and roll lifestyle. No, it's called This Is Our House, which sucks. Just from the hours upon hours of NFL analysis you do.
Yeah.
Give me a worse goal song, touchdown song, like I'm talking any kind of celebration song in sport. Ooh, Sweet Caroline's up there. So yeah,
thank
New
you.
England
I
owns
was
two
just
of the
world.
About to say that.
Yeah, I give you Chicago.
Stagger Lee. Chelsea Dagger. It's bad, but it's not this new Bon Jovi.
Okay. New Bon Jovi. First of all, if you go to a game, I haven't been to a game in 12 years, but I never hear it.
It's on TV. You can hear it, but it sucks.
All right. But I'm too caught up in all the fun. But listen, when they wrote This Is Our House, that's like when they walk on the stage. And immediately, like, that's what they open with. And then they play, let it rock, let it rock, let it roll. Because they're rock and roll. They didn't write it, but who cares? All right, so anyway, Travis Kelce is one of these guys that markets himself as a silly goose. And he's gotten endorsements from it, Lord knows. And he is walking around thinking that he's pretty cool. He's got a very, hipster sweatshirts that were popular like when Dos Reyes was around 6 years ago. No, this is not a champion. Okay. He's got champion. You're that's some subset of hipster that I don't understand. Champion. I mean, I own Champion sweatshirts. I mean, it's some subset of hipsters that I don't see. No, he's got a sweatshirt on that he should not be wearing because he's a professional athlete and he is certainly no hipster. But here we go. Here is Travis Kelce. He's talking about the rivalry between the Patriots and the Chiefs.
It was the Pats fans for whatever reason, just hating me for being a white tight end wearing 87.
Like, okay, if I would have had on 80. Okay, he's saying that the Patriots fans didn't like him because he reminded them of Rob Gronkowski. And this is just him free associating. This is him. He didn't come on this show to say that. He just started to, his mind is running at a million miles an hour. And he's just thinking, whatever pops in there, I'm going to say. That he had the number 87 and that he was white and that was like Rob Gronkowski. As if Patriots fans were going, you know what? You are a little too similar with Rob Gronkowski. How dare you wear that number? No, it's your good and you're a total douche. Have fun in Kansas City, you douche. I mean, oh boy, well, you really picked the right market. I know you didn't pick it, but my Lord. Joe Montana even was a nobody in Kansas City. All right, so here goes Travis Kelce. He's explained, it couldn't be explained as that you were rivals and that you were good and you're a douche, and that's why people don't like you. Of course, none of it's on you. It is all because of the numerals on your jersey. Here we go.
It was the Pats fans, for whatever reason, just hating me for being a white tight end wearing 87. Like, if I would have had on 84, none of this would have ever been talked about.
All right, stop. Now, do you think that's true, Travis? Maybe if you weren't the world's biggest douche and sat around. The pictures I see of him that are connected to some of these articles are him, like, with his lady flexing at the gym. Oh, you suck. You got horrible tattoos. You're sitting there flexing. Go screw yourself. Oh, what a likable fella. Oh, hey, now I like it. I wasn't sure at first. But now that I see you flexing by the old gym equipment, I know that you're all right. Thanks, Travis. And what a beautiful wife you have. How lovely. Ew. Boo. That's the only reason they like me. Boo. All right.
Like, if I would have had on 84, none of this would have ever been talked about. But because I wore 87, all of a sudden the Pats Nation absolutely hated me.
That's a real rivalry, Pats Chiefs. I'm just thinking how they treated Mahomes' Brittany.
It's definitely the
what is Mahomes? I have to plead ignorance here. I don't know what Mahomes' Brittany is.
His wife?
I don't know.
Is it his girlfriend? I'm being told. What did anyone say about his girlfriend? Does anyone know?
I don't know.
So no one on this show knows. So it must have been quite the scandal that the Patriots fans, the way they treated Mahomes. Did they boo when they showed her or something?
Oh my God. You mean Mahomes' girlfriend?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, no, people killed her. Like, oh, yeah. Like, I mean...
Oh, what did she do again?
She was had the video of her, like, she was just... There was videos that people were calling her obnoxious for doing something, and there was a big... Like, there were videos of her that where she came across as being fairly obnoxious that people, like, ripped her on.
Oh, so good.
I know what you're talking about.
Okay, again, her fault. By the way, just looking at a picture of Travis Kelce on the... he's on a red carpet... with a yellow overalls on. He is wearing yellow overalls.
And by the way, Travis Kelce, it's not every Patriots fan that hates you. It's just Scott Zolak. As he made very clear in many tweets this January, I believe.
Well, I am not a Patriots fan, but I do hate myself some Travis Kelce.
Scott Zolak hates Travis Kelce. Hates Travis Kelce.
Did Kelce get back to him on that or something?
Apparently it was used, like he mentioned Zolak in some interview or mentioned that there was like a broadcaster or something like that in Boston who hates him. And you know, of course, when they won the Super Bowl, everyone was killing Scott Zolak. So you think he's running around now? Yeah, you think he sucks? But I do remember that was a thing and like Kelce kind of used that. So I think that a lot of this, you know, he might be remembering what Zolak said and not exactly. Listen, Kelce's a douche, but I don't think he's like one of these guys that the whole like fan base hates.
I don't care who the fan base like. He's a douche, and I hope everyone hates him. Here's a picture of him with a Stars and Stripes bandana tied around his head, a la Bret Michaels.
He's Johnny Gomes.
Oh, here he is with a it says Steel Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce swagger. You want to talk about Johnny Gomes? Guess what he's wearing?
An American flag jacket.
You got that right, sir.
There you go.
You got that much right. So he's Johnny Gomes wrapped in like a fake hipster douche. So he's like even worse than Johnny Gomes. He's the worst. Go try to be famous somewhere else. Big comedian. Ew. All right, continue.
That's a real rivalry, Pats Chiefs. I'm just thinking of how they treated Mahomes' Brittany.
I think it's definitely the Mahomes Brady, but now the Brady's not there. It's what it's really always been is Belichick Reed. That's what it's always been, because two of arguably the greatest minds in football, very disciplined running ships. You're going into it knowing that both teams are very well prepared, and that automatically raises the stakes.
Yeah.
Is he saying that the rivalry has always been Belichick and Reed?
Yes. No. That is what he said.
No, he's saying it was Brady, but now it's Belichick and Reed. I'm going to his Instagram so I can get really pissed off.
Yeah, so now I'm starting to remember the thing with Mahomes' girlfriend, as she was in the stands at Gillette and she made a video saying that all the fans were being rude to her, and maybe they were, I don't know, but there were other things that came out where, you know, many people were saying she came across as being obnoxious. I don't remember what it was, so it couldn't have been that bad, but she did get killed. Like that, I mean, that was all everywhere. Right,
well, she was being obnoxious. At least Sarge would like him because he's holding up a nice belt.
Okay. A weight belt?
No, a wrestling belt. I mean, please. Well, they didn't. The only reason, I mean, talk about living in a bubble. The only reason that they didn't like him is because he had the same number as Gronkowski. You can't even think of yourself as that. Know that yourself. Here he is in a fur coat walking into the stadium. The only way – you have to be Deion Sanders to get away with the full fur coat now. That's who you got to be. If you're not Deion Sanders or Ozzie Smith, you can't wear a fur coat. All right, Dan, you have a Travis Kelce comparison. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, so you know the crony football player in Saved by the Bell that hangs out with A.C. Slater? I think his name's like Moose. Who's
Ox.
Constantly going like –
It's Hawks.
Like can't put two sentences together.
Yeah,
Travis Kelce. That is Travis Kelce. That's all I really wanted to say. Also, this has been one of the best rants in the last like 3 months from you guys. Top quality. I didn't really hate Travis Kelce before, and after listening for the last like 10 minutes, I despise that douche. Have a good one, guys.
Thank you. And that's my idea, is I want to spread as much hate as possible.
Nice job.
I want to spread as much hate. He's the Ox. That's right. He's the Ox of the team. Mahomes is the Zach, okay? Mm-hmm. And then you got one of them linemen is the Slater. And then Kelsey's just the Ox. I hate when players aren't funny at all, but because they're in such a dumb, sterile environment, everything they say gets eaten up. And, like, just acting, it's like Showtime at the Apollo when someone's killing it. And, like, they say something like, you know, I don't know, beans to you. And then, like, people stand up and start passing out in the aisles. Just, oh, Travis, you're so funny.
I'll tell you what, it's been 7 years coming, baby. I learned one thing since I've been here. You got to fight. The Chiefs are the AFC champions.
Oh, you're
stupid
the best.
Jim Nantz. I wonder if Jim Nantz even got the stupid reference from 1987. How much you want to bet he never heard that song? He's just sitting around not knowing what the song is. Yeah, you got to fight for your right to party. I said the same thing to Tom Sneed when we were throwing back old fashions at Palm Beach. All right.
I'm looking, by the way, this thing that has the touchdown songs ranked. And by the way, it couldn't be more wrong because they've got This Is Our House by Bon Jovi right in the middle. Like, they're at number 15.
Yeah, because that's a great song by Bon Jovi.
And they have, by the way, the last ranked one is the Colts. They're the only one that doesn't have a song. They just play a horn. I got to kind of respect that, to be quite honest.
Well, Ursa couldn't get together. He kept auditioning for songs.
he wanted to be like a Counting Crows song, and they're like, dude.
No, he wanted to be an original. You don't even know if it's just a buzzer because he's in the owner's box just tickling. He's got tonal qualities. He's rocking with the different tones. He's got. Can you picture what his setup would look like, Jim Irsay's? How many pedals do you think Jim Irsay would have in front of him? He'd have like a thousand. Yeah, he would have like a thousand pedals.
This it's all the same little pedal because he keeps missing it, and he's just it's a better chance to hit one of them.
Yeah, and he flicks up a pill and catches it on his tongue and then just starts hitting pedals.
Hey, Quentin, what's up, man?
What's up, Quentin? You see, the Vikings, Let's Go Crazy by Prince. Awesome. That's a great one. Perfect touchdown song. Awesome.
Makes sense.
Yeah. The Raiders used to have California Love, which is a good one, but they obviously can't do that anymore. New York Groove, the New York Giants had that.
Is it the original version, or is it the A's? Because if it's the A's version, you're all right.
No, it's not. It's unfortunately the original version.
Boo!
I still think one of the best has to go. You got to give that one to the Buffalo Bills. I mean, the Bills touchdown song is perfect.
Yeah, and to see people on 10 Zan or not 10 Zan.
The Bills make me wanna shout. Kick your heels up and shout.
You see
throw your
people
hands
on 10 Viking in a bottle of Jack Daniels.
Come on,
celebrating
now. The
this
Bills
song.
Are making it happen really now.
Put like the sound of faces being smashed into tables to it.
I had my friend on the air from Buffalo, and he would shoot 10 Viking in, drink half a bottle of Jack Daniels, and pass out and miss the games. All right.
Quentin, what's up, man?
And then there's unoriginal bastards that, like, share the same song. Like, the Packers and the Bengals both have Bang the Drum All Day. That song sucks. It's always been bad.
You know what? Football touchdown songs I never even make. I never even hear them. Because I don't go to the games anymore. I don't even hear them. I don't even know what the Lions one is, and that's the last game I went to. All right. What's coming up, Rich?
What is the Jets touchdown song, Fred?
I don't know.
Unheard song. it's Song 2 by Blur, which are also the song of the Detroit Lions, the Arizona Cardinals, and the Atlanta Falcons, these unoriginal bastards.
I when it comes to football touchdown songs, I'm not very familiar. All right. We will be back in just a moment. What are we going to talk about?
Who has the title for the most swearing in movie history? On top of that, Fred, people do some weird stuff during this coronavirus thing. And there is a Facebook group with 1.8 million members, Fred, that's into something that even in your weirdest fetish fantasies would never imagine. Even weirder than you, DA, yes.
Perhaps something I could get involved in. All right. So very good. Here are the headlines.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the Stack.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. The Stack is sponsored by Window Nation. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Go to windownation.com. Rich, what is going on?
How the hell has this gone under the radar? So this weekend, there's a pretty big sporting event that's not NASCAR, and it's live, and it's bettable, and it's something people would actually want to watch. Four of the biggest names in pro golf gearing up for a two-on-two skins game this weekend in Florida with Rory McIlroy and Dustin Johnson. They're going to be taking on Ricky Fowler and Matt Wolf this Sunday at the Seminole Golf Club in Juneau Beach. All the winnings going to charity, but this is live, televised, and ready to go, and this has gone way under the radar. I know everyone's
You hadn't heard about it?
No, I'd heard about it, but like I saw this. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's this weekend. And I know that it's kind of been in the shadow of the whole Tom Brady and Tiger Woods ball breaking fest that they're going to have where they josh around a lot. But this is a big deal. So that's going to be this weekend. I know that NBC Sports is going to be network's going to air it. I think it's going to, I don't know what may, probably NBC that's going to be on as well, the Golf Channel as well. Yeah, it's going to be a skins tournament. So if you know, if there's a, you win a cash prize for each hole. I think that the first six holes are worth $50,000 each. Next 10 holes, $100,000, and then the 17th is $200,000. The final one, $500,000, and that it's going to all end up being for a nurse's charity. But that's a kind of a big deal, and for some reason there aren't like a ton of people talking about it, to be quite honest. So yeah, there you go, live sports back. And I, there was one interesting announcement that they made yesterday as far as the whole Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning and Tom Brady thing that they're going to be doing is that one of the announcers in the booth is going to be Charles Barkley. How awesome is that? Somebody very, very smart figured out that he's someone that you got involved in this somehow. But
the model of a perfect golfer.
The jokes are going to just be ugh. Because you're going to hate Charles. Hey, Charles, how about that? Is it, you could, how about this swing? And they're going to play like his bad swing, and they're going to be like, ha-ha!
So Barkley can't be lame if he tries, though.
I like, love Charles Barkley, but yeah, the joke. But if you put that Barkley sucks at golf, plus golf announcers, that equals you're going to see these jokes a mile away, and it's just going to keep coming and coming and coming. That's why they're having him in. They're not having him in because, like, you know, he's this effervescent talent. They're having him in so they can. They can go, how about that swing? What do you think you do on that hole, huh? I put it in the drink.
Well, listen, you know, the broadcasting part of it was going to swim in lameness anyway. At least now there's a chance that you'll get something refreshing or something honest, or he'll say something that, you know, most censors would probably consider trying to dump out of. But if it's live, awesome. But, you know, putting Barkley in there was a great move. And I know it's on all the TNT networks. They got access to this guy, or Turner Networks, rather. So, good move. I think that was someone very smart made that decision. Now, if speaking of people who swear on TV, if in movies, Samuel Jackson used to hold the record for the most amount of swear words that were said in movie history. Like one single actor, how many swears they're responsible for. But there was a study, and I guess he incorrectly had been crowned that because there was a group called Profanity on Film that actually went through and started counting the amount of swears in film history. And any guesses to what actor has overtaken Samuel L. Jackson as the one who was sworn the most in film?
Actually, I know the answer to this.
All right, hang on a second, because I don't. But I know that a Trailer Park Boys movie has the most swears of all time in a movie.
But the most of those guys haven't been in a lot of movies, though.
No. That's what I'm thinking out loud. There was a movie with them that has the most swears of all time. So let me see.
I would have said Joe Pesci before I knew the answer. I would have thought that just from Casino and from Goodfellas and all those Scorsese films and even like The Irishman, although he didn't swear that much in that, that he would have been up there. But it's not him. But I will tell you this, Fred. It was a Scorsese film that put this actor over the top.
Okay. It was a Scorsese film. De Niro?
Not De Niro. And it was a Scorsese film from 2013.
Harvey Keitel?
The Wolf of Wall Street is the film.
Okay. Oh, Leonardo DiCaprio?
Leonardo DiCaprio's up there, but it's Jonah Hill who has overtaken Samuel Jackson as the actor who has sworn the most in film. So apparently he's used bad language 376 times in his movies, while Samuel Jackson has only used swear words 301 times in his film, landing him at third place overall. Now, The Wolf of Wall Street, they say, is the most profane movie in terms of language ever, which I think, Fred, they're wrong, because you're right.
Yes, they are wrong.
I think Trailer Park Boys, they might mean, like, I don't know, by a major studio. But in the movie The Wolf of Wall Street, there were over 700 swear words in that film, which is
weird.
It's
so funny.
I don't remember that being a swearing, to be quite honest.
It's funny because it just rushes over my head now. Like, I don't even
like pay attention to it. But I would like to know how these people, how they enjoy themselves doing this.
Yes.
That they just sit there instead of like watching the movie. They're just counting swears.
It's got that clicker, like an umpire or a guy who checks you onto the beach. That clicker for population.
Now is it the seven dirty words, or do they have bitch in there? I mean, there's a bunch of stuff that there's a bunch of variables.
That's a great question.
That's right.
Now, I know that Leonardo DiCaprio, because of that movie, is now ahead of Samuel Jackson as well at second place. He had 361 uses of bad language. But Samuel Jackson makes the swear words count. So he'll also, he might be the most profane, but Samuel Jackson swears more per thousand words. So, he'll swears 22 times for every thousand words, whereas Jackson, I almost tripled that. So, I mean, like, less words, but more of those words.
Why are these people not solving the coronavirus? Why are they sitting down and figuring this out? Do something else with your time. Jesus. You obviously have like a beautiful mind. Do something else with it.
There was one film that came out this year, however, Fred, that took one guy and just put him way up in the rankings. As a matter of fact, he went from almost off this list all the way to number four because of one film. He's a very famous actor, and he's an SNL alumni.
Okay, very famous actor, SNL alumni.
And it was a movie this year that put him up to number four.
Okay, so it's not Will Ferrell.
Mm-mm.
It's
pretty good movie, too.
Oh, Sandler.
Yep, Adam Sandler, thanks to Uncut Gems, because the amount of times he swore in that one, he moved up to number four most sworn, but person who said more swears in any movie history. Other actors who made the list, Denzel Washington, Billy Bob Thornton, Seth Rogen, Bradley Cooper, and Danny McBride. So, there you go. I didn't realize Danny McBride had been in that many movies.
It doesn't matter. He plays the same character in everything he's in, and he just swears.
That's an excellent point. Well, speaking of swearing, that is a prop bet that you can make for the final two episodes of The Last Dance, which air this Sunday night, the Michael Jordan documentary, which has been excellent. The Bankroll Boys need to get on this, because what they got here is how many times will the F word be said? The over-under is 2.5. Ooh, I'm going to go, as for both episodes, I'm going to go over on that one. Like, I remember on the Dennis Rodman week when it was episodes 3 and 4, like, there were a ton. I remember the first weekend, it kind of shocked you because, like, oh, yeah, this is ESPN. I can't believe they're airing this. And so I think we were probably sitting around 2 or 3, but that Dennis Rodman weekend, they were just letting it go. So who knows? 2.5 is what the over and under is. I'd take the over also.
Now, do they play the swears? Or do they censor them?
No, so ESPN plays the swears. ESPN2 is the censored version.
Oh, okay.
So you can choose which one you want to watch. So, I mean, in fairness, ESPN's letting them fly. How many people will be shown with a cigar in their mouth? The over-under is 3 different people.
3 dozen?
3 different people.
Oh, because I would say 3 dozen people. Because he's at a place in life where every rich guy smokes cigars. Like, if you ever played golf with, like, rich guys,
he's like
they all got constant cigars going. Or if you ever gone over to, like, a rich guy's house, they're all sitting around smoking cigars, which I don't quite get.
Another thing you can bet on, will Michael Jordan cry while being interviewed? It is yes, plus 100, and no, minus 150. He cried last week, so I don't think they're going to make that happen twice in a row. I wouldn't think so. Speaking of that, ESPN has done their rankings of the greatest NBA players of all time. They did indeed put Michael Jordan number one, but LeBron James is number two ahead of Bill Russell. Kareem Abdul is at number three. Bill Russell is at number four, and Magic Johnson is at number five. And then it goes Wilt Chamberlain, Larry Bird, Tim Duncan, Kobe Bryant, and Shaquille O'Neal. Do you think Kobe Bryant's a better player than LeBron James? That's the only thing I'll ask.
No.
No.
See, I think he might be.
Mm-mm.
I think he might be a better player than him. I love LeBron James.
LeBron does more. LeBron can play anywhere. Kobe was amazing for what he was, but I think LeBron's a little more versatile, and that makes him better.
Yeah. All right. Well, Fred, it seems that people are so desperate to feel a part of something during the coronavirus lockdown that a Facebook group where, quote, we all pretend to be ants in an ant colony has managed to garner a staggering 1.8 million members since March of this year. Now, the group does exactly what it claims. Members assume the role of an ant, taking directives from their queen. A single post ordering her army to, in capital letters, dig, resulted in 13,000 comments, almost all of them echoing in service to their queen, in capital letters, dig. So when the ants aren't marching, they're sharing content about other ant-adjacent subjects, such as an image featuring an ice cream cone dropped to the ground, and in big letters, found snack, need help eating, ended up having 3,100 responses with words such as lick and munch.
Step in.
No, DA. This is not about it. It's about being pretending you're an ant.
What you do is you get an ant farm and then you step on it.
The private group asked potential new members to fill out a survey prior to approval on why you are indeed an ant. Also, there are rules to help keep the ants in line. Discussions of human politics and, quote, human religion, as well as violent or explicit content, are strictly prohibited, as controversy may disrupt colony expansion.
Do you know the fetishes that are come out of this social isolation? Do you know that people being separated like this, what weird garbage is going to come out of this? Like, the amount of, like, porn that you're like, whoa, that's going to come out of this crap. I mean, I hope schools come back, because I'm telling you, if you don't let people, like, kids hang out together, I don't even know what's going to come out of that. There's going to be some weird, effed up kids. And even, like, adults, just, I don't know, man. That ant thing doesn't surprise me. I mean, I don't understand it, but I bet you there's some weird. And then, you know, there's going to be ant porn, and it's not even going to be sexual. It's just like people like getting off on like ants eating an ice cream, like you said. Oh yeah, weird, weird stuff is coming out of this. This is some unprecedented stuff. If you're squeamish, you're going to be foot fetish porn's going to look like missionary by the time this thing's over. Yeah. If you isolate people this much, ooh, boy.
Yeah.
Whatever's getting you through. Yeah. I mean, there's people. Well, I don't even want to get into it, but there's weird stuff on there already. But
well, this is something you might enjoy. Motley Crue are inviting you to watch The Dirt alongside the band members themselves this evening. They are going to provide a running live commentary on the film along with the actors who played them. Who cares about them? It's at the band's Twitter starting at 7 o'clock tonight. No word whether this is a video or just them tweeting. But if it's a video, awesome. Because I want to hear. And you know what? Just mute everyone but Vince Neil. That's all I want to hear talking about it.
But they took out all the crazy stuff out of the book. Like Nikki Sixx.
Yeah.
Well, no, Nikki Sixx essentially sexually assaults a girl in the book, and they don't make reference to it. I mean, like all the like really messed up stuff is really not in that movie. I mean, there's lighthearted stuff like Ozzy sniffing the ants, but I mean, there's a lot of crazy stuff in that book that they probably couldn't put on TV.
Yeah,
so I got no use for it. Now, if they read The Dirt and talked about it while it was going on, now I could get into that.
Well, speaking of their big tour, Fred, which, you know, with Def Leppard, Poison, and Joan Jett, the crew released a statement saying that they're, quote, weighing all options. Is that Vince Neil's new nickname, all options? Regarding on how to proceed amid the COVID-19 pandemic, the tour is scheduled to kick off, geez, about a month from now, June 18th in Jacksonville, Florida. And they said an official announcement on its status is expected by June 1st. I'm telling you, Fred, that tour is going to play somewhere. It's probably going to be Florida. Like, if there's any tour that's going to continue, it's the one that involves a band that basically should be dead anyway, Motley Crue.
Yeah, it's going to be Florida and Arizona. They're going to put up residencies. They could do a residency in Vegas, but I think they've already done that. But, I mean, yeah, this tour is happening.
I saw them at their residency. They did Dr. Feelgood in its entirety, and it was, believe it or not, it was fantastic. Vince was actually in shape. It was like 10 years ago. In shape enough to get through the words. But like, you know, it was great. The show was amazing. It was good. And it was, you would hate it, Fred, because Vince was better than you'd think he was going
to
be.
Yeah, I don't need to see that. Lockhart says the viewing of The Dirt ends when Vince Neil pees his pants. Sorry, guys, I'm out of here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.